mouth.
Word of 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 mouth.
Mouth. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Halloween is a perfect time for ghost stories and fairy tales. Yes, fairy tales. Not the sanitized stuff of Disney princesses, but the grisly, violent, cautionary tales from which they were derived. Of course, scary stories are best told by word of mouth, so we invited author Adam Gidwitz to share the rather horrible story Ashpuddle, or as you may know her, Cinderella. It is one of the tales from his new book, The Grim Conclusion, the third volume of delightfully dark, vividly retold stories originally gathered by the Brothers Grimm. Gidwitz was a longtime teacher and advises parents to read the book themselves before deciding to share it with kids. So in that spirit, be warned that the original tales can be quite gory.
Thank you, Virginia. This is indeed Cinderella, also known as Aschenputtel, collected by the Brothers Grimm. And you said it, but I have to say it also. This story can be a little bit frightening, a little bit disgusting, a little bit bloody. So if you don't like hearing stories like that, when I get to one of those parts, just take your two fingers and put them in your ears and count to five. And by the time you're finished counting, I'll be done with the gross, bloody part and we'll be good to go. I'm not going to start at the beginning because you know the story of Cinderella, and the Grimm version starts the way you think it's going to start. There's a girl, her name is Cinderella, or Aschenputtel. She lives with her mean stepsisters and stepmother. And the story goes as you expect it to, until she gets to the ball. She meets the prince, dances with the prince, loses a shoe. The shoe actually doesn't happen to be made of glass. In the Grimm version, it's made of gold. From there, though, I think we can start. So the prince picks up the shoe and goes out to look for this girl, Cinderella, who's disappeared from his ball, and he goes to lots of different houses, and pretty soon he comes to Cinderella's house. And he holds out the shoe and he says, "Whoever's foot fits in this golden shoe will be my bride." Well, the stepsisters are thrilled, because you see, in a lot of versions of Cinderella, the stepsisters are ugly, right? Like, one is skinny like a chicken bone, the other one's fat like a kettle, neither one's particularly attractive. But in the real Grimm version of Cinderella, the stepsisters are very, very beautiful. Probably more beautiful than Cinderella. And they have perfect, beautiful little feet. So when the prince says, "Whoever's foot fits in this golden shoe will be my bride," they're thrilled. And the oldest stepsister flips her long golden hair and says, "Oh, let me try the shoe." And she goes and she takes the golden shoe and she goes into the back room and her stepmother follows her back. And she slides her perfect, beautiful little foot into the golden shoe, and it fits. Almost. Sorry. You see, her big toe is a little bit too big. She can't get it into the shoe. She tries and tries. It just will not fit. So the stepmother takes out a knife, and she says, "Cut off your toe. When you're queen, you won't have to walk anymore." Which is true, I guess, right? If you're queen, people, like, carry you around and stuff, right? Makes sense. So the stepsister takes a knife, cuts off her big toe, shoves her foot into the shoe, grits her teeth against the pain, and goes out to see the prince. And she hobbles out there, and you have to imagine that, you know, she wants to impress this prince. But it is not easy to impress a prince when you have just cut off your toe and shoved it into a golden shoe, because that probably hurts a lot. So she's gritting her teeth in unbearable pain, trying to smile at the same time, and she hobbles out there and she says, "It fits!" And the prince says, "My true bride." And he goes and he picks her up, carries her outside, puts her on his horse, and they ride away together. But they haven't gone very far when they pass the grave of Cinderella's real mother. And on this grave is a hazel tree. And in the tree are sitting two doves. And as the prince and the stepsister ride by, these two doves call out. They call out, "Coo, coo." "There's blood in the shoe. The foot's too long, the foot's too wide. This is not the proper bride." Well, the prince pulls up his horse and stops and listens to the birds, because when birds talk to you, you should listen, right? Anyway, he looks back at the stepsister with long golden hair and a beautiful dress and down to the golden shoe, and indeed, he sees blood burbling up out of the golden shoe. And he looks and he goes, "Wait a minute, this isn't the right girl." So he takes the horse, turns it around, rides back to the house and says, "This is not the right girl. Do you have another daughter?" Well, they do. The second stepsister flips her long black hair and she says, let me try the shoe. And she takes the golden shoe and she goes into the back room and the stepmother follows her back. And she slides her perfect, beautiful little foot into the golden shoe and it fits. Almost. Yeah, you see, her heel is just a little bit too big. She can't get her heel to fit into the shoe. She tries and tries. It just will not go in. You might need your fingers now. So the stepmother takes out a knife, and she says, cut off a chunk of your heel. So the stepsister takes the knife, cuts off a chunk of her heel, shoves the foot in the shoe, grits her teeth against the pain, goes out to see the prince, and says, it fits! And the prince says, my true bride. And they ride away together. But they haven't gone very far when they pass a cemetery with the grave and the two doves on the tree. And the doves call out again. They call out, coo, coo, there's blood in the shoe. The foot's too long. The foot's too wide. This is not the proper bride. Well, the prince pulls up his horse and stops and listens to the birds. Because, again, birds talk. You should listen. And he looks back at the stepsister with the long black hair and a beautiful dress and down to the golden shoe. And indeed, he sees blood burbling up out of the golden shoe. And he goes, wait a minute. This isn't the right girl either, because he's smart like that. So he takes the horse, turns it around, rides back to the house, and says, this is not the right girl. Do you have another daughter? Well, they don't want to admit it. Cinderella's dirty. She's covered with ashes and cinders. But he insists. She gets cleaned up, comes downstairs, tries on the golden shoe, and it fits perfectly. And the prince says, my true bride. And he picks her up, carries her outside, puts her on his horse. They ride away together, and they all live happily ever after. Almost. You see, they haven't gone very far when they pass the cemetery with the grave and the tree and the two doves, and the two doves call out again, but this time they call out, coo, coo, no blood in the shoe. The foot is neither long nor wide. This one is the proper bride. And they fly out of the tree, and they come and they land on Cinderella's shoulders, one on her right shoulder, one on her left, and there they sit. Well, the next day, the whole kingdom comes to celebrate the wedding of Cinderella and the prince. And everybody's in the chapel, and Cinderella's outside the chapel about to walk in, when who should approach her but the two stepsisters? And these stepsisters, they're limping a little bit, right? But they're smiling, and they say, dear Cinderella, we love you so much. We're so happy for you. We're so glad that you're marrying the prince. And she says, dear sisters, come, walk with me in my wedding. So the older stepsister stands on her right, and the younger one stands on her left, and the two doves are still sitting on Cinderella's shoulders. And as Cinderella walks into the chapel, now you're going to need your fingers again for this, as Cinderella walks into the chapel, the dove on her right shoulder leans over to the older stepsister and pecks out her left eye. The other dove leans over to the younger stepsister and pecks out her right eye. After the wedding continues, which is really weird, because if you can imagine a wedding like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, ah-ah, and then da-da-da-da, it just keeps going. Weird, but true. After the wedding, Cinderella turns around to leave, and when she turns around, now the younger stepsister is on her right, and the older one is on her left. So the two doves lean over and peck out the stepsister's two remaining eyes. And the last line of the real, grim version of Cinderella is, and so the stepsisters were punished with blindness till the end of their days for being so wicked and false. The end.
The dreams that I wish will come true.
Well, 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 those wicked stepsisters get what they deserve. Adam Gidwitz there summarizing a chapter from his new book, The Grimm Conclusion. It's an oddly humorous reimagining of the Grimm fairy tales collected by the brothers Grimm. Adam, delightful to hear you tell the story. And that's kind of the voice that you keep throughout these tales when you're writing. It's very naturalistic. You're kind of winking at your audience at the same time. Instead of telling them to plug their ears, you're saying, close your eyes during this next while you're reading this next paragraph. Tell me how you came up with that voice.
That voice came about totally organically. I was a teacher, and one day I got a phone call from my school, and they asked me if I'd be willing to be a substitute librarian for a day. And I said, yes. They said, great, you're going to be telling stories to second graders. I said, no problem. They said, tell them any story you want. I said, great. So I went home and I was looking around on my shelf for a good story to read to second graders, and I came across my big book of the real Grimm fairy tales. So I took the book off my shelf, opened it up to a story called Faithful Johannes, and in this story, two children get their heads cut off by their parents. It's okay, they get put back on again, so they're totally fine. But I thought, huh, can I read this to second graders? Will I get fired? And then I thought, let's find out. So I brought it in, and I started reading it to these kids. And very quickly, they started to get very nervous. So I would make a joke to calm them down a little bit, or I would warn them when something really terrible was about to happen. So that voice that you're referring to, that conversational, jokey, warning voice, comes literally from me first telling a grim fairy tale to those second graders.
And you interject throughout the stories to warn readers against sharing with little kids. So, it's, yes. So at what age do you think kids are ready to hear these unvarnished versions of the classic tales?
Well, I can't speak for all kids. I know seventh graders who my books are their favorite books. And I know 13-year-olds who said I had to quit after a chapter because I was having nightmares. I really think that kids know what they're ready for and they know what they need. And the wonderful thing about a book is it's really easy to close. So I knew a little girl, a 7-year-old girl. She was a friend of the family and we were friends. She was a fan of my stories. And she started A Tale Dark and Grim, and she had to call me up and say, Adam, I couldn't read it. It was too scary. And I said, I'm so glad that you knew that about yourself. She called me up 6 months later and said, I read the whole thing. It was my favorite book.
Tell me about the story that you just told. Cinderella is what we hear. You gave us a much grittier version with, as you put it nicely, Aschenputtel. But what does the name originally come from?
Aschenputtel literally just means covered with ashes. Aschen means ashes, and puttel is sort of, I believe, a nonsense ending like Cinderella. Mm-hmm. If you were covered with ashes and cinders 200 years ago in Germany, your job was not only to clean out the chimneys and the fireplaces as we would currently think of. Your job was probably also to clean out the chamber pots. Now, if there are any kids listening, you don't know what a chamber pot is. A chamber pot is essentially a toilet that does not flush. So it's a little pot, and you leave it in the corner of your room, and you sit on the pot, and you do your business in the pot. And then you get up, and you leave your business in the pot, and then somebody has to come and clean your business out of the pot with ashes and cinders and water. So in other words, when they called her Cinderella, what they were actually calling her was toilet cleaner. That was her name, was toilet cleaner. So next time you see a little girl saying, you know, I want to be Cinderella, I want to be Cinderella, you know that what she's actually saying is, I want to be toilet cleaner. Don't tell her that, though, because she'll probably cry.
Your read of some of the classic fairy tales that have been presented for kids today, many of which have been adapted by Disney somewhere along the way, you call mind-numbingly boring. Now, first of all, when did that happen? When did they get so sanitized? And has Disney actually done the Brothers Grimm a disservice?
That's an interesting question. So they have been sanitized from the late 19th century onwards. They were first published in 1812 and revised again and again until the Brothers Grimm published the last edition in 1857. And really since then, various people, especially in England and America, have been sanitizing these stories. Disney knew that if he could get 4- and 5-year-olds watching his movies, he could make much more money than if just 10- or 8-year-olds were watching them. So he really sanitized them. And I don't hate the Disney versions at all. Like, you know, the singing mice are one of my favorite things. But there is a disservice because kids have seen these sanitized versions over and over again. So many times that by the time they're 6 or 7, they think that fairy tales are indeed mind-numbingly boring and they dismiss them out of hand. But the real fairy tales, Grimm and others, are incredible. They are scary, they are funny, and I really believe that they speak to deep needs, hopes, and fears that children have. And so they're very important for kids to be exposed to. Einstein famously said, if you want your child to be intelligent, read them fairy tales. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more fairy tales. So it's a shame that we only show them the Disney movies now when they are such rich sources of inspiration and thought.
Adam Gidwitz, author most recently of The Grimm Conclusion. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Virginia.
Adam's also author of 2 previous best-selling retellings or reimaginings of tales by the Brothers Grimm. You can find out much more about his work. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org.